All right, let's take our Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 26. The last couple of Sundays we were discussing the prayer time in the Garden of Gethsemane. And how the Lord was trying to encourage Peter, James, and John, but specifically Peter, to watch and to pray so that they would not enter into temptation. And kind of going backwards now to back to the upper room in Matthew chapter 26, where the Lord tells Peter that the devil has eyed Peter and desires to sift him like wheat, and there's a bullseye target on the life of Peter. And the Lord talks about them all will desert the Lord, and Peter will deny the Lord. And we're going to talk about just what we should not do and not rely upon ourselves to always do right, even though we say we will, but we obviously need to rely upon the Lord to help us to do right, because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But reading several verses here in Matthew 26, starting at verse 31, I'm going to skip around this chapter to a couple of different segments, but starting at verse 31, reading down to 35, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples." If you'll skip down to verse 56. "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end." Skip down verse 69. "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow also was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." Now, as I was reading that segment, I just remembered what someone had said earlier, that the Lord had given them a verse this past week, and the verse talked about not giving place to the devil. Now, the Lord had already told Peter, this is what you're going to do. And we'll learn some lessons here. Again, with Peter, we have to make sure that we're not relying upon ourselves and, you know, our ability to resist the devil, because we can't resist the devil in our own strength. The Bible does tell us that we are to stand in the armor of God, and having done all to stand, because we're relying upon God to help us, relying upon the armor of God. But as I thought about that, Jesus, back in the upper room, had already warned Peter to Basically, you need to watch and pray because the devil desires to sift you like wheat. And not just Peter. All of us, every single child of God, the devil desires to sift us like wheat. Whether we want to recognize it or know it, we all have targets on our backs. And that target is the devil wants to just ruin our life, ruin our faith, ruin our testimony, ruin our trust in the Lord. He wants God's people to stand in their self-reliance, to stand in their own strength and not depend upon the Lord, not to rely upon the Lord's strength. Again, I believe a lot of what Peter did in the times where he would just, you know, be adamant that I will not do this, I will stand next to you, I will die for you, because of his love for the Lord. He had walked with the Lord for 3.5 years, saw the Lord perform miracles, was taken care of by the Lord, and was even given power by the Lord to even, for a time, to be able to heal and to cast out demons. I mean, he saw great things, the teachings of Christ. I mean, his heart is stirred. His heart has been knit with the Lord. But he still found himself standing upon his own strength and not, you know what, Lord? You know all things. And if you say I'm going to deny you 3 times, Lord, will you help me not to do that? Because I really don't want to do that. I do not want to give place to the devil in my life. I don't want to just let the devil do whatever he wants and cause me to fear the Lord, because that is what caused Peter to deny the Lord, was his fear. Fear. The fear of man is a snare, the Bible tells us. He feared young maids. He feared the people that came to him the third time. And you know what? You are one of them. Because he saw the Lord was already condemned. He knew the Lord was taken into custody. He knew he was going to die. And he just wasn't really ready to die with the Lord. He wasn't ready to go through that. And he was trying to save himself. We always get in trouble when we try to save ourselves. We always have to rely upon the Lord. But God's word warns us against the very attitude of self-confidence. The scripture state in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Again, the devil wants to convince God's people that, you know what, you've got enough faith, you're strong enough, you can resist the devil on your own. You don't need to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. No, come on out from among that protectiveness. Come out from away from the Lord and, you know what, just test your faith. See how much you've grown. That's what the devil wants. But God tells us, you know, don't think that we're capable of standing on our own. We need to stand in the Lord. So in Matthew 26 and verse 33, let's look at Peter's willing boastfulness. His willing boastfulness. Now again, we can be and we should boast in the Lord. All right? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, God says he'll lift me up. All right? The Lord will be the one that guides me and helps me and uses me according to his will, but we cannot be boasting upon our own abilities. Now, when you look at Matthew 26 and verse 33, the Bible says, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. We have to be careful when we say that phrase, I will never. Have you ever said that before, even thought it? I would never do that. I'll never go there. I'll never. Well, that's a sure fire way to do exactly what we said we won't do. Because honestly, if it's left up to us, we will do exactly what we said we would not do. Because we'll find ourselves in a predicament where, you know what? We will do what we say we won't do. And we do have to be careful. Now, I can stand here and say, you know what? I'll never murder a person. You ever been mad enough that you wish you could wring their neck? And God says, if you have hatred in your heart, you've committed murder. I may not have physically done the act, but in my mind, I've committed the act. And before God, he considers, hey, you have hatred, you've committed murder. So we have to be careful that we don't say, I will never, but just even think about it, Lord, help me not to. Help me not to do that. But Peter was very adamant and said, again, he says, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now, Jesus tells his disciples that they would all be offended and forsake him. I mean, he already said, not just Peter, but all of them. They all will forsake him. And when he said that, he was quoting from Zechariah 13:7, which says, smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. And the Lord tells all the disciples that, you know what, tonight you're all going to forsake me. Even though they had walked faithfully with him for 3.5 years, yet in one moment they would all forsake him. Now, singling out Peter, he tells him again that Satan has a special target on him. Again, Peter states, not so, Lord. Peter just, he's adamant that, you know, he'll be faithful. Again, we should have that attitude. We should have that heart's desire. I'm going to be faithful, but Lord, you have to help me because I know that I would, you know, I might and I could, you know, just desert you just to save my neck. I mean, we still have flesh that doesn't want to do right, and God still tells us that the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. I mean, there's that enmity between the two. The flesh never wants to do what's right, but the spirit does want to do what's right, and we have to rely upon the Lord. Now, Peter's response should stand as a stark warning to us that first, what he did that we shouldn't do is he compared himself with others, because he said, though others might deny you, he was lifting himself up and saying, not me, I'm better than everybody else. You know, these other disciples, these other Christians, these other followers, they might deny you, but not me, because I'm better than them. We got to be careful that we don't do that. Because he says, though all men should be offended. The moment we begin to think that we are better than or unlike other individuals, we are deluding ourselves. Each of us is just a sinner saved by grace. We are all robed in the flesh and possess the carnal nature. But again, that's no excuse. I know some have used the excuse, well, you know, I'm just a sinner by grace, so, you know. And we talked about this before where some people use their heritage. Well, you know, I've got Irish in my family, so, you know, we're just have that tendency to be angry and to blow up and just let things come out. And, you know, God just winks his eye at me and lets it go. No, there's no excuse for that. We just have to understand, you know what, I have flesh that doesn't want to do right, so I need to submit more to the Spirit of God that will always lead me to do right, always encourage me, hey, stand in the strength of the Lord. Ask God to help you. Ask God to direct you. There in your notes at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. It's never wise to look at others to try to make yourself look better. It's never wise to do that. The wisest thing for us to do is assess our own spiritual life. And Lord, you know, I have a tendency to worry. I have a tendency to not trust you. I have a tendency, you know, to look at others and say, well, at least I'm not like them. At least, you know, I've grown in that area. Because the tendency of people is to look at someone else and say, okay, I'm not doing too bad because I'm better than them. And that's the wrong thing to do. The world does that, but God's people should be comparing themselves with Christ. Because I was predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. So if I'm looking at the author and finisher of my faith, am I getting closer to his likeness because I'm letting God work in my life? Or am I getting further away from his likeness? And again, the Lord taught his disciples, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, how to fully humble yourself before God and God's will, and to gather your strength from the Lord to accomplish God's will. Because remember, in comparing ourselves, remember the Pharisee who prayed with himself in the temple while a sinner was praying there as well? In Luke 18, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And Jesus even lets the hearers know that the Pharisee is praying with himself, though he's a religious man, though he's following the law, though he's doing all these things, yet he wasn't praying to God. He was praying with himself because he had lifted himself up to the position of God. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Again, this Pharisee was comparing himself, well, you know, at least I'm not like this publican over here who's a liar, who's a thief, he's not living right. At least I'm not like, you know, extortioners, I'm not unjust, I'm not even an adulterer. And he goes on, if you know the account, he goes on to thank the Lord that, you know what, he tithes of everything, even mint. But one thing that he didn't have, and that was a relationship with God. Because honestly, those that are not walking with God, but they want to seem spiritual and they want to justify their own living, they look around to compare themselves to someone. Well, okay. And they'll find someone who's lower than them to say, well, you see, I'm not like him. I mean, that's the Pharisee. He's looking at a sinner. He's looking at a publican. Well, at least I've got religion. He doesn't. Right? And it makes that person feel a little better that they found someone that they could justify their life against. And okay, I'm doing better than him. Because if that person were to get their eyes on Christ, they would go, oh me. I'm nowhere near where I should be, right? Because we can always find someone who's below our standard, and, well, okay, I'm doing pretty good, right? But who is our standard? Jesus is. And if I look to Jesus, I will always see, man, I need to catch up. I'm lagging behind in my spiritual growth. I need to catch up to where Christ wants me to be. Again, when we think about it, Peter has walked with Christ for 3.5 years. Why is he standing in his own strength? Why is he even denying the words of Christ, the very one who knows Peter better than anybody, and saying, Peter, the devil desires to sift you like wheat. Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter's, nope, I sure am. Though the rest of these guys do, I never will. Doesn't God know everything and even knows what we will and will not do? And when he gives the warning, like God gave the warning to Cain, because Cain was so jealous over his brother being accepted, or the sacrifice of his brother being accepted by God, Cain's sacrifice rejected. And God, in his grace, comes to Cain and says, Cain, sin lieth at the door. If you do well, you'll be accepted. He's letting Cain know, you know what you brought to me is not acceptable. The fruit of the ground. You did not bring to me a blood sacrifice that you are. It's not that Cain didn't know. He already knew. He already knew what God wanted. But again, people will try to do it their way and expect God to accept it because, well, I'm bringing the best that I have. And then when God doesn't accept it, when they're convicted in their heart that what they did is wrong, instead of going, yes, Lord, I knew what was right, I'm sorry, they look around. If he hadn't have done what he did, then I wouldn't look so bad. And God's grace and mercy is trying to give Cain an opportunity. Get your heart right. You've got some jealousy. You're thinking things you shouldn't be thinking about your brother. Because then the Bible says that they're out in the field and Cain's eyeing his brother and the jealousy just rages. He just forgets what God says and he kills his brother. And he probably felt pretty good. Well, until God spoke to him. And God passed judgment upon him. And then Cain's like, it's too much. He's almost saying to God, it's not fair. Well, wait a minute. It's not fair what you did to your brother. So, again, we have to be sure that when God convicts our heart about something, that we're quick to say, yes, Lord, you're right. I may not agree with God. I may think, well, no, I wasn't thinking that. That's not what I was going to do. But you do know everything, so you probably already know I was going to, right? We should always humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so he can lift us up. We should always look at our life, compare our life to Christ. Am I getting closer to his likeness? Am I allowing God to work in me? Is God warning me about something that I need to pay close attention to? Again, God warned Cain, sin lieth at the door. You're very close to sinning against me if you don't get the jealousy out of your heart. Jesus tells Peter, you're going to deny me. Now, when you think about it, Jesus doesn't tell Peter how the devil wants to sift him. Just the devil wants to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for thee that you fail not. And how the devil sifted, how the devil got to Peter was through fear. The devil used the door of fear into Peter's heart to cause him to deny the Lord. Again, we don't know Peter's thoughts. We don't know his feelings. But thinking about human feelings, when you're faced with danger, even if it's not directed at you, but someone you're close to, they're facing danger, like Jesus, I mean, he's going to be crucified. It's a fake trial. It's a mock trial. And fear, the what ifs, what if I associate with Jesus right now? What are they going to do to me? I mean, I don't want to die. I know I told him I would, but, you know, because your flesh goes on high alert to protect itself at all costs, right? Because, I mean, you've tripped and fallen before, right? And what's the normal tendency to do when you trip over something? It's not put your hands behind your back, I mean, you're trying to grab on to stuff. I mean, you're trying your best not to hit the floor. I mean, that's the natural tendency of the flesh is to protect itself. And the devil knows that. And the devil knows that he can get a lot of people trapped in fear. Fear of man. The fear of man bringeth a snare, the Bible tells us. So, again, we have to listen to what God's telling us. Even though we can't see it, if God's warning me that, hey, you know, be careful, you're close to doing this, Lord, help me not to. Help me to walk in the ways of the Lord. Help me to walk in the Spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Again, the lust of the flesh is to protect itself. All right? So, and then Peter's second statement was that he would never be offended. All right? Though all men shall be offended, yet I will never be offended. Again, anytime we think that we would never do something, we need to remember that Noah undoubtedly never believed that he would be a drunk. He wasn't a drunk until after the flood. That he goes into his tent and he drinks and he finds himself drunk, passes out, and he's naked. David probably undoubtedly never believed he would ever commit murder. I mean, because what when we first find David in the scriptures, what do we find about David? He's a young man writing songs about God, trusting the Lord, a man after God's own heart. I'd never commit murder. I know it's wrong to kill somebody. But later on in life, what happened? He wasn't where he should have been. In the days the kings went out to battle, King David stayed back in the palace and sent his men. Well, you know, there's no need for me to go. God be with you. You guys go fight the battles. I'm just going to stay here. And no one thought anything about it. But you know what happened? Because he wasn't where he should have been, the devil used it to lure David into committing sin. And to cover up his sin, he had to commit another sin. And that was, he obviously committed adultery, and then he committed murder to try to cover that up. So, again, be careful, your sin will find you out. God knows our heart. God knows, again, the devil desires to sift us like wheat. But aren't you glad that Jesus said, I've prayed for thee? Jesus intercedes on our behalf. I mean, I sure would love to hear some of the words Jesus prays for me. But then again, maybe not. Lord, help him. He's being stupid again. You know, maybe I don't want to hear some of the things he says about me. But I do want to hear, you know, him lift up my name. And Lord, you know I've paid the sin debt for him. You know, Lord, that I'm his strength. Let's just help him, you know, get over this, get through this. And the fact that he prayed on Peter's behalf against the devil. One thing we got to be careful of that I've heard many Christians do is in their own words, they try to rebuke the devil. And I've heard Christians pray that way too, where they'll, you know what, I rebuke thee. You got to be careful. I have no power over the devil. Jesus has all power. Because even Michael the archangel, one of the strongest angels, the Bible says when he was contending with the devil, he did not bring an accusation against himself, but he said, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. Again, the devil wants to draw people away from relying upon God. And he will draw them away in convincing them that, you know what? You're strong enough. You have enough faith. Come on and fight me. In whose name did David fight Goliath? What was his weapon when he fought Goliath? Now, he told Goliath, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And his only weapon was God. Sure, he had a sling and a rock, but when you read the description of Goliath, he was fully cladded in armor. There was no weak spot except for one, and that was his forehead. He had a helmet on, but his forehead wasn't protected. And I guarantee you, David was counting on God to make sure that rock went straight for that forehead. And it did. But David was relying upon the Lord. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. So again, we've got to stand in the strength of the Lord, rely upon the Lord, and not our own ability. No matter what our spiritual level is, no matter how much faith we have, it has to be upon and in Jesus Christ. Now, look at Mark chapter 14, because Mark 14 also shows the account of the Lord having this discussion with Peter. But in Mark chapter 14, it says, but Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will I not. Peter would stand with Christ. Again, boastfully, saying that I'll stand with you, though all others will be offended, yet I won't. All right? So he would stand with Christ. Now, as always, Peter had good intentions, and here he made a brave resolution. It should be the goal of every believer to stand, and there's no nobler place to stand than at the side of Jesus Christ. This is the very thing that Scripture commands us to do, because in Ephesians 6:13, having done all to stand. All right, you know what? Go to Ephesians chapter 6, because Ephesians chapter 6 gives us the armor of God. And we are to put on the armor of God. Again, we're talking about really resisting self-reliance, all right? Because in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and high places. It's amazing how far we have come. How blatantly open sin is today in the 21st century. How sin is promoted. How sin is normalized, sin is legalized. So, I mean, the majority of the stores, because I don't see all the stores, I don't go to liquor stores, but what's the one word the majority of liquor stores and even bars have on their sign? They say wine and, or beer and, liquor and what? Spirits. Sure isn't a good spirit. I mean, just the grotesqueness of Halloween. When I was a kid, you know, I went trick-or-treating. I mean, back in the 70s, early 80s. I mean, I dressed up like Fred Flintstone. Who remembers Fred Flintstone, right? I mean, I think one year I dressed up like a mummy. Parents just wrapped me in gauze. I mean, it was. But when the stores start selling the Halloween costumes, I've got to try to avoid those sections because they're so gross and so wicked. I mean, they're so demonic looking now than they ever have been before. And it's like the normal person doesn't even give it a thought. Because they've been so desensitized by what they watch and by what they listen to that it doesn't bother them. Listen, you and I, as God's people, have to put on the armor of God so that we can stand against, the Bible says, the wiles of the devil, because we are wrestling against demonic powers. Now, again, we're not battling and fighting against demonic powers in our own strength, but the strength of the Lord, because verse 14 of Ephesians 6, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench. What's amazing? Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How are we going to defeat the devil and his fiery darts? By holding up the shield of faith that we've been given. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Skip down again, just there in Ephesians, just the armor of God and what we need to do. Having done all to stand, we need to stand. Now, when you think about it, Christians certainly ought to have a desire to stand and to encourage others to stand by his words and by his example. Again, Jesus is the one we should be pointing other believers to. Hey, you know what? look back to Jesus. He's the one that's going to help you. He's the one that's going to encourage you. He's the one that's going to give you the strength that you need. And even for ourselves, relying upon the Lord, listening to the warnings of God. I mean, it's amazing how many Christians are caught up willingly in the devil's snare. I know of someone, I know of a young person that their picture, I don't go on Facebook or anything. My wife keeps up with the mom, the Oxford moms here for things, but someone had sent us a Facebook message. And I looked at it, I'm thinking, you're supposed to be a Christian. Why in the world is that your profile picture? And the profile picture was a demonic-looking woman with horns. It's like devilish. It's like, and this is supposed to be a Christian. I mean, why? Why do you, maybe they don't even claim to be a Christian. I don't know. But I know of a lot of Christians who are so caught up with the dark side. Now, this is kind of hearsay because I didn't hear the person say it directly. Their parent said this is what the person, their child said, and this is a separate one, is that they said, well, if God won't help me, I'm going to ask the devil to help me because I know he'll help me. And he supposedly believes in God too. But well, if God's not going to help me, then I'm going to ask the devil to help me. Now, either they're not truly saved, both of these young people, or they are just clearly not walking with God. They've clearly not grown in their faith. Okay? Because I know, again, when someone gets saved, the life isn't perfect. There's things that have to be worked out. But what I'm saying is we live in a day and age where more and more young people are relying on the devil to help them instead of God. Why is that? It might be because what they see in the parents and their relationship with God isn't genuine, so, well, apparently God's not helping them. So maybe the devil's my only chance. But again, I know it's things they listen to, it's things they watch, all right? And knowing those things, you know what? We as God's people need to pray for the young people. Because do you remember when you were a teenager and you were in your 20s? What were the things, you don't have to tell me, but what were the things you faced that were, kind of like, man, drinking, drugs, whatever, What were the things that you faced in those years? Well, imagine it's ramped up 100 times worse now. Because I can remember things in my teenage years that teenagers faced. Thinking, man, today it's 100 times worse than then. And that was only 30-something years ago for me. So what I'm saying is God has already warned us. The devil desires to sift you like wheat. There's a target on your life. Now, the devil can't just do anything he wants because we're the children of God. There's a hedge of protection around us. The devil knows it because the devil, you got a hedge of protection around Job and all his stuff. I can't do anything. God says, okay, well, he's in your hands. You do this, but you can't do that. All right. We know the devil just can't do what he wants in our life, but we cannot give place to the devil. We cannot open the door. Okay? That would be like, well, you know what? I'm against pornography. I'm against rated R movies, all of that. But, I'll just open the door and just, have a TV, and it's okay because, we're not watching pornography or anything. But do you realize even the commercials today are wicked? Now, I don't watch TV. I don't have a TV. But that's how the devil gets in. Okay, I've got standards. You know, we're not watching. We don't watch this. We don't do this. We don't do this. But then we open up the door to, you know, other things. And that's just a way for the devil to slither his little snaky self into our life and homes. Because we've convinced ourselves, well, I don't do all this, so I should be okay. The devil just needs an inch. It doesn't need to be an inch. He just needs a little centimeter of the door open so he can kind of slither in. And then what? Over time, you know this, over time, what you know we didn't allow eventually is allowed. Now, again, it may not be TV. Just think about, see, we want the door to close. And see, the door is closing. Well, we want to slam it shut. Because again, listen, very quickly, Jesus is warning Peter, the devil has your number. He wants to destroy your life. What's the big deal about Peter? I mean, he has put his foot in his mouth so many times. Why does the devil care about him? The devil's not all-knowing. He has studied Peter's life. He knows by studying Peter's life that God wants to use him in a great way to influence the lives of other people. He knows, as he studied Peter, he has a heart for God. He's got some hang-ups. He's got some issues. And you know what? I really need to keep Peter from moving forward in his life with God. I need to keep him from not being so effective in witnessing, in helping, in serving people. I need to keep him full of pride and boastfulness. I need to get him to a place where he just gives up. You know what? The devil almost succeeded. Just kind of jumping ahead. We'll get back into this next week. But he almost succeeded because you already know Peter denied the Lord 3 times, didn't he? Yep. And what did Peter do after he denied him the 3rd time and the cock crew? Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. He was sorry for what he did. He did what he said he wouldn't do, and he was guilty. His conscience was troubling him. I mean, he could not believe he did what he said he wouldn't do. Even after Jesus appears in the upper room to the disciples, when they're all locked in that upper room, because they're all fearful, Jesus has been crucified, and now what do we do? Jesus appears, Peter's there, Peter sees the resurrected Christ, but he still goes off fishing after that. He goes back because I'm assuming, just reading through the scriptures, he thinks, you know what? Okay, the Lord appeared to me, I saw him, he's resurrected, but I messed up. The Lord doesn't want to use me. Whatever he had in it planned for me, I messed it up. But yet it is the Lord Jesus Christ who comes to Peter and says, do you love me? Okay, get up and follow me. I got some things for you to do. I'm not done with you. Now, I'm glad that we find favor with God, we find grace with God, that when we do mess up, God can still use us. Peter, obviously, he denied the Lord. He goes off fishing. Jesus comes to him, restores the relationship. Peter wasn't seeking Jesus. I messed up. I mean, I majorly messed up. I didn't just, you know, say, no, I don't know him. I mean, I was cussing. I mean, I was swearing. I was using the Lord's name in vain, saying, I don't know him. I mean, he went all out. You notice Peter always went all out when he said something? I mean, just look at the life of Peter. I mean, every time he opened his mouth, he was just... And the devil could see that, though. The devil could see where Peter would be all in for God if he truly gave his heart to Christ. You know what? He did, because he ended up following him. Now, he lost Peter. The devil lost Peter. You know who else the devil lost? He lost Paul. Paul was the devil's right-hand man and executing Christians. The devil thought he had the upper hand. Oh yeah, I've got a guy who has authority, a guy who can talk, a guy whose heart is so full of hatred, he will do anything to kill the Christians. But yet Jesus saved him on the road to Damascus. Guess who else he lost? You. You're a child of the King now. You and I, we've won. We have victory in Christ. But we still have to be careful that we do not open the door to the devil in any area of our life. And especially in the area of, okay, I've been saved long enough. I know what to do. I know how to handle this situation because God's brought me through a similar situation. I know what to do. And that's self-reliance. We still have to, Lord, help me through this. Lord, help me not to give place to the devil. Help me not to get lifted up in pride. Help me, Lord, not to think that the devil has stopped fighting against me. The devil's still alive. He's not been cast into a lake of fire yet. And until then, he's going to keep wreaking havoc in this world. And he's going to keep trying to resist you and me in moving forward in our life for the Lord, in growing in our faith, in trusting the Lord, in relying upon him. He's going to continue to try to get us at some point to think all is well. I don't have to worry about the devil. Now, there's coming a point when we can say that when we're in the presence of the Lord, but until then, we just have to be mindful, you know what? The devil's always looking for an opportunity to get me off the straight and narrow path. He's always looking for an opportunity to cause my heart to be full of jealousy, bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness. And I cannot let him have that room in my life, because that room solely belongs to Christ. And it solely belongs to the Holy Spirit cultivating his fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness in my heart, so that my life bears out that fruit and I continue to follow, to trust, and to live a life surrendered to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy this morning. Father, we ask that you would help us to be mindful. Help us have the wisdom, the discernment, how the devil tries to trip us up. And help us, Lord, to always rely upon you, to always draw nigh unto you, and to trust you, and to know that we have victory in Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness in Christ, and we have the strength that we need in Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you would continue to bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we got about 10 minutes.